This episode is brought to you by MediCells Aesthetics. As the saying goes, invest in your skin, it's going to represent you for a very long time. One facial won't fix all your skin issues. The same goes with that one gym session with a personal trainer won't give you your dream body. If you want to see results, it takes more than just washing your face. Well, let's wave goodbye to enlarged pores, acne, and all signs of aging, and say hello to flawless skin. Well, MediCells Aesthetics is founded in 2015, and they are Singapore's leading aesthetic center committed to improving your skin health in the most effective and efficient way. Their cosmeceutical products are formulated in USA in consultation with dermatologists and made in Singapore after meticulous rounds of research and testing. They only use research-backed, top-notch ingredients which have been tested on different skin types over a period of time. All their products are free of alcohol, steroids, parabens, cruelty-free, free of harsh chemicals, high in concentration, carefully chosen for potency, and suits all skin types. So now, what are you waiting for? You guys can go to www.medicells.com and get them now. If you do an online search for your name or the name of your business, what you find on page one of Google represents how most people see your brand today. It doesn't really matter if your favorite customer tells the world you're the most wondrous thing since sliced bacon. People will Google you, and what they find is all part of the buying process. And here's the good news. Controlling what people find when they search for you is a part of marketing that is referred to as reputation management or reputation marketing. You might think this is only about online reviews, but it's much bigger than that. Well, today in our episode, we have invited a digital marketing consultant. His name is none other than Jason Barnard. So Jason specializes in brand SERPs, which is what appears when your audience Googles your brand name and knowledge panels, what Google understands about who you are and what you do. So he's a regular conference speaker on SEO, and he's been featured on numerous podcast platforms too. So without further ado, let's welcome this amazing gentleman into the house. Woohoo! All right.
Thank you, Rayson. That was absolutely brilliant. I love the introduction. I love the way you presented that. And it's important to state right at the beginning, I come from the world of SEO, but most of what I now talk about is brand and branding. Yes. And I just use SEO techniques to educate Google about who you are, what you're doing, which audience you serve. So we're going to be talking much more about marketing and branding than we are about SEO. So this isn't geeky.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And of course, you know, We all know that branding is something that's so important, not just for businesses, but also personal branding as well. So we're going to talk a whole ton of it later on in this episode. And for Jason, can you share with the audience a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, I'm Jason Barnard. I'm the founder and CEO of a company called Calicube. And we're the only company in the world that specializes specifically on managing your brand narrative on Google. We come from the SEO world, but we have learned to use SEO techniques and tactics, really simple ones, to ensure that we can manage your brand narrative on Google. I've been doing this now for 10 years specifically. I've been in SEO for 25 years. I started in 1998, and we'll talk about that in a moment, I think.
Sure.
So from that perspective, I'm one of the people in the world who has been around SEO the longest, looking at Google the longest, and also the person who's been looking at brand narratives on Google for the longest. I'm an old man.
Okay, I understand. Oh, well, yep, you are I wouldn't say old, but you are wise based
Thank
on the
you very much.
Based on the age. But of course, I understand that. Well, you have been actually in this SEO and also branding in this industry for more than 10 years already. And just wondering, where are you based in right now? Are you in Toul House or Paris or what?
I'm in the south of France in a small town called Sommières near Montpellier.
Oh,
so it's okay. A really sunny, lovely place with great food, lovely people, and lots of musicians in the area. So as you can see, I'm happy as a lark. Oh.
Okay. Wow. Nice. Wow. I am really intrigued by French culture and French cuisine as well. Where once you know, when I'm available, I'll definitely go and visit France and even visit the small town that you're in. Then you can
brilliant.
You know, we can have a chat and meet up as well. And if you are coming to Singapore, definitely bring you along. You know, in the best food in Singapore as well.
Ooh, and, right, okay. So I'll swap you the best food in the south of France for the best food in Singapore. We'll do a swap visit.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Yes, we'll do that. And just wondering, have you visited Singapore yet?
Yeah, I did. When I was living in Mauritius, which is a small tropical island off the coast of Madagascar in the Indian Ocean, it was, let's say, one of the popular destinations for people from Mauritius. And we went to Singapore, I think, twice and absolutely loved it.
Wow, nice. Wow. So how's your reviews for Singapore? Is it good? Is it something that is pleasant for you?
Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. We spent several days there. The hotel was lovely. The people are delightful. It's such a friendly, welcoming place. Everything perfectly set out. And I think we went to a stamp museum. I've no idea why we would go to a stamp museum, but it stuck in my mind, so it must have been really, really good fun. So thank you my wife and my daughter who dragged me along to that.
Okay. Oh, I'm pretty sure you had a really great experience over there, and you know, they drag you to the right place. and before we actually dive into the main focus of our interview, our listeners would actually love to get to know you a bit better. So, Jason, can you tell us a bit about your backstory on how did you go from being a blue dog in cartoon TV series to digital marketing and branding?
Right. That's a lovely question. I quite enjoy this question because it's an interesting little story. And it was a TV cartoon blue dog for many, many, many years. And my name was Bua. And I had this big voice. And I spoke to the children and said, come along, we're going to play some games and sing some songs. And I wrote some songs and I was a musician. So I played the songs as well. And that lasted about 10 years. And it was a TV series produced by ITV International. And Google obviously understood that's what I'd been doing. And so when I stopped doing that and I became a digital marketer, I would go and see my clients and speak to them, give them my business card. I would convince them to work with me as a digital marketer. And then a lot of them didn't sign the contract. They didn't actually work with me. And I was wondering why. And then one client who did work with us said, oh, well, we Googled your name as soon as you walked out of the door. And it said at the top, Jason Barnard is a cartoon blue dog. And we thought it was funny, but we imagined that most businesses wouldn't want to give their digital marketing to a cartoon blue dog. And that's the day I realized your brand or your personal brand isn't what you say it is. It's what Google says it is. Your brand is what Google says it is.
Okay. Yeah.
So at that point, I forgot the end of the story. At that point, I then thought, well, I need to get Google to say what I want it to say about who my brand is, what my brand is. And I transformed that. If you search for my name now, Jason Barnard, JasonBarnard, you will see that Jason Barnard is a digital marketer, the founder and CEO of Catacube. That's the dominant message. That's my brand narrative now. It's the brand narrative that my audience want to see, and it's me who controls it.
Okay, understand. Yeah, I agree with you, man. I mean, like this topic that we have today is actually saying that Google is your new business card. So technically, you're saying that, you know, when you are popular for something, and then when you are changing your niche, you are changing your career, for example, people, when they want to know more about you before they hire you or before they work with you, partner up with you, they will definitely go and Google you. And then after that, they saw that, oh, you are Blue Dog or you are Teletubby, for example. And then people will think that, hey, why work with a Teletubby, you know, who want to specialize in professional speaking or whatever niche that they are in a sense, right? Okay, understand. Okay.
Well, that's exactly it. If I want to speak professionally on a stage or work for somebody as a digital marketer or get somebody on the CaliCube platform or on the for CaliCube as a client, it's obvious that when they Google my name, they need to see something professional and relevant and not this Blue Dog. I love the Blue Dog and I'm very proud of the Blue Dog, but the Blue Dog doesn't help me drive my business and move forward with the digital marketing and marketing ambitions that I have today.
Yeah, I agree. And unless if you are going to be a part of Marvel or probably a part of a DC Comics or whatever comic that you're going to be in, then Blue Dog is something that is, you know, a protagonist for this Superman or whatsoever. Then most likely the possibility of you being signed up will be higher because it's within the same niche in a sense, right? As compared to, you know, if let's say you want to be a professional speaker and then you want to share about your stories of how you've evolved from Teletubby to a to a professional speaker, unless if you are like the late Tommy who acted as a Green Ranger, for example, and then he goes on the stage to speak, then probably the persona will be differently perceived, and most likely Tommy will be appreciated more than Teletubby in a sense. Am I right to say that?
Yeah, I think persona is a good way of putting it, is because we have multiple personas and we need to teach Google which of the personas we want it to present to our audience at any given time. And that Marvel comic part that you just spoke about gave me a great idea. I could optimize what appears when you search any Marvel character. They could actually employ CaliCube to make sure that the message that's being sent across to the audience of, I don't know who's on Marvel Comics, but the Green Beetle, the Yellow Buzzer, whatever the Marvel comic heroes are called, make sure that the message, the brand narrative, the narrative of that character is being correctly projected to the audience. I would love to do that. So Marvel Comics, if you're listening, please do contact me. We can do some great work together.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. I mean, like Robert Downey Jr. will definitely need some you know, some pet or some interesting characters to actually be a part of his journey other than Spider-Man in a sense, right? Yeah. Okay. Cool. Okay. So I just want to ask you, right, while you were actually building your career and business up as a digital marketer, not Blue Dog, but digital marketer. Do you have a favorite failure of yours? And how has that failure or apparent failure set you up for later success?
Great question. I really like this. And I've been thinking about it a little bit. In fact, my greatest failure was to start working on brand SERP's search engine results page for a brand name in the first place, because I started way too early. I started in 2013 and nobody was interested. So the huge failure was that I went out saying, this is really important. Look what I've just done for the Blue Dog to the digital marketer transformation on my Google business card. And nobody was listening. So I've spent the last 10 years, trying to convince everybody that this is important. And that journey has been incredibly educational for me and helpful to me, because I've gone from nobody listening to me to a lot of people listening to me and people saying, wow, yeah, this is really important. And in those 10 years, I've learned every trick in the book. I've developed the entire recipe for this. So now when people come to me, I can say, well, I've got the recipe. The ingredients for each person, each brand, each company are different. the weightings are different, and I've built an automated system that can figure out the weightings and the ingredients for each individual person or company. So over those 10 years, I've been able to develop not only the system, the CaliCube process, as we call it, but also the tool and the platform that will do that for me. So my biggest failure was starting in the first place too early, but that failure allowed me the time to develop truly into an expert in my field and become the Google whisperer like you are the celebrity whisperer.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Wow. And you know what? This Grammy Award producer is watching and listening to us right now. His name is none other than one of my guests, one of my favorite guests, Vini Potestivo. He's actually here. Brilliant. He said, Jason Barnard is the real deal. When you see red, move ahead.
That's brilliant. Hi, Vinny. That's absolutely brilliant.
And he said, listen to every word he says. He know what it takes to get you the visibility it takes to get discovered. Oh, awesome, awesome, awesome.
Wow, Vinny, that's really cool. Thank you so much. And I do like, when you see red, move ahead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is a really nice tagline, man. Yep. It's really nice. Yeah.
We might use that. Thanks, Vinny.
Oh, yeah. Most importantly, this is something that's very catchy, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people will love it if you are going to use it. And, I agree with you, man. I mean, like, when you started early and nobody cares so much about it, you will be at the losing end, right? In a sense, it's just like, for example, back in the days when Pokemon cards were starting to grow, but when the first person who started it, nobody really cared. They might be curious, but when they saw that there's much more people coming to play, starting to play this game, and then people got more curious, and when they saw that this has so much value in it, they started to join in. Correct me if I'm wrong, right? So exactly. this is how you actually felt back then, because you started way early and people didn't really care so much about it. So that's why it became a so-called failure, a mistake of yours that you actually learned and overcame eventually. And look where you are now.
And that mistake, because I started too early, I couldn't make any money out of it. And to keep this going for 10 years, I've invested $200,000 of my own money. And in terms of time, if I calculated the how much I would have charged my clients during that time, over $1 million for 10 years to keep this going, to be where I am today. So I'm now trying to make back $1 million. Wish me luck.
Okay. Wow. I'm definitely, how do I put it? I'm definitely sure you will definitely hit that million mark or more, way more in 2023, because you know this is the time of opportunities, right? Every new year, new opportunities. I'm rooting for you, my friend.
That's super encouraging, Rayson. And it's really important in your own mindset as you move forward to know that people are rooting for you. And knowing it helps you move forwards.
Yes, I agree. It's just like Vinny is rooting for you and me, you know, during this podcast and many others that are tuning in as well. Well, I'm really, really excited. And I just want to ask you, right, you know, when you actually transit from Blue Dog to one of the most popular digital marketer in your country and around the world, I'm pretty sure you have started reading books to learn and to actually, you know, get the idea of what digital marketing is before you actually do the transition and before you actually jump on this opportunity, right? So can you tell us what are 1 to 3 books that have greatly influenced you, especially your career and your life?
Right. Okay. I mean, from the perspective of books, I actually don't read very much. I read a lot of articles because articles tend to be very up to date and cutting edge, and I'm really into the cutting edge and doing things that are a little bit different. So I read a lot of stuff on of Corey Gabor, who hasn't published a book. He's Turkish. He writes phenomenal articles, and he writes 25,000 word articles about exactly how Google functions. It's really geeky. So if you've got a geeky mindset, go and read Corey Gabor. He's amazing. He wrote a 25,000 word review of the CaliCube Pro SaaS platform, sorry, which is our platform that I built, basically saying it's the bee's knees. 25,000 words, that could have been a book. He wrote a 25,000 word article about brand SERPs and knowledge panels. It's insane. Mm. And he's so incredibly smart, by far the most intelligent person I have ever met in my life. The second that I would read is another website, a guy called Andrea Volpini from Wordlist. Okay. He's geeky in the sense that he does similar things to Corey, but he explains it in a business perspective.
Okay, so that's brilliant. Definitely check it out.
Yeah, so he's, let's say, the second most intelligent person I've ever met, but he manages to actually package it up for you as a business person, so it makes sense to you as a business person, and says, this is where the revenue is going to get driven by the geekiness that I can apply. I won't teach you the geekiness. I'll just apply it for you and make it work. And so he explains it within that business perspective, which for me makes huge amounts of sense. And in fact, the only book I'm going to cite is my own book. And it's not because I love reading it. It's because when I wrote it, I learned so much. What I learned is that I was geek. Nobody understood what I was talking about. I went to get some help from a lady called Emily Bartdorf, who works with a guy called Scott Terman at Bright Ray Publishing. And they helped me rewrite it so that anybody can read the book. And if I if I just pushed the book out myself, it would have only been readable by Corey Gabor and Andrea Volpini. But because Emily helped me rewrite it, any business person, any personality, any person with any kind of presence on Google or online can read it, understand it, and make good use of it. And I learned to explain what I'm doing in much simpler terms. So it was a huge learning experience for me.
Okay. Wow. Nice. Okay. Interesting. Then besides these two articles, do you have a mentor while you are actually building your business up?
A mentor point of view, I'll give you one mentor who is actually not in the digital marketing industry at all. He's a guy called Dave Clayton, who was my friend when I was at university, and he was the guitarist in my very first band. And he's a wonderful guy, and he's a high school teacher. And he gets phenomenally good results from his students in a very deprived area of the north of England. And I was talking to him, and I was saying, well, how do you do it? What's your teaching technique? And he said, everything in threes. Absolutely everything I teach is always in threes. That's how kids understand it. That's how humans understand things. So if I've got four of something, a list of four, I will remove one or integrate it into one of the other three. If I've only got two, I'll invent a third one, because when you say things in threes, people remember, people understand. So I tend to say things like, your Google business card is all about Google understanding who you are, what you do, and which audience you serve. You want your brand SERP to be positive, accurate, and convincing. One, two, three. And it works so well. I'm now obsessed by everything in threes. And Dave was right. Okay. It works every time. And loads of things work in threes. There's actually a song called Three is the Magic Number for kids. It's a song for kids. And it's true. Three is the magic number. So he's my mentor. Both, he was the guitarist in my first band and gave me my first singing job, and also taught me about doing everything in threes. So Dave Clayton, hats off to you, man.
All right. Nice. Dave Clayton, you have a really huge, you know, follower right now already, because you have already taught Jason a lot of amazing things. And besides this, what is the best advice that you have ever received from him? Three.
Well, the only advice he's given me, other than becoming a musician and to go for it to become a musician, was the thing of threes. But I actually have a second mentor, a guy called Scott Terman, who's from Bright Ray Publishing. He's the guy who helped me write the book with Emily Bartdorf. And he sat me down one day and said, Jason, you're a fool. You have a talent set and a methodology and a platform that should be making you millions of dollars and you're not. And that's because you're approaching it wrong. And he sat me down and he said, you have to define what it is you're offering. You need to make sure that the pricing is makes sense for the person you're offering it to. And you have to stop scraping around for the smaller sums of money and accept that some people don't have the money to do what you need, what you're offering for them to do. Mm-hmm. And move forwards in that way and say, well, I need to reach an audience. I need to stand where they're looking. This is actually a guy called Phil Pelluccia. Stand where they're looking. Make sure you offer them. Oh, you tell them what the next step forwards is. And then the third one, I can't remember. I wrote it down. I only heard that one a few days ago. But I'm now trying to transition from being a super geeky Google SEO expert to being a brand marketer and a businessman. And that's another three. Mm-hmm. Geeky SEO Google expert, brand marketer, businessman. That's who I will be at the end of 2023. Ooh, another three.
Nice. Wow, okay, nice. Oh wow, this is amazing. So that means for me, I need to have three names for myself other than the celebrity whisperer. Right? But I need something else as well to pair it up to make it three so people can remember me in a sense.
Yeah. That something just occurred to me. I know it wasn't quite what you were saying, but Jason Barnard doesn't make sense. It's only two words. The brand SERP guy is four words. That's no good either. Jason M. Barnard is three. So logically, and I was thinking about that this morning, is that as Google understands more, we're going to have to disambiguate more as human beings, as individuals. And you've just given me a really good idea, and I'm not going to sleep tonight.
Wow. Oh, whoa, okay. Don't blame me for your insomnia.
Well, I'll wake up at 3 in the morning and start taking notes.
Oh, wow. Well, so it's also the power of 3.
Yeah, exactly. The power of 3 gives you so many ideas because you think, well, I've only got 2. What's the third one going to be? And it forces you to think about it. Or if you've got 4, you say, well, I need to get rid of one, either integrate it or remove it. So you really think about it. And if you can get it down to 3, it's always going to be simple, easy to remember, and effective when you implement it. There you go.
Yeah.
Just made that up. Wow. I've got no idea what it means.
Okay. Well, I mean, like 3, like what you mentioned earlier, 3 is not just easy to remember, but it's also effective and easy to implement in a sense.
Exactly. So, you absolutely nailed it. That was what I was trying to say, and I think you just said it better.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, I understand. Well, Rayson Chu Ragacy has also 3 names. I just thought of it while you're sharing with me. The Celebrity Whisperer, Transformation Catalyst, and also at the same time, the Celebrity Maker.
Brilliant.
In a sense. Yeah,
yeah, no. It's absolutely lovely. This is a rabbit hole now, Rayson, that you won't be able to get out of.
Oh yeah, I'm loving this, especially this conversation, because while we are actually having this lighthearted conversation, not so serious and all, we are actually able to figure things out as well. In a sense, like you know, this convo is really amazing, and I really enjoy the energy that you have as well. And now to the main focus of our interview, can you tell us more on what do you mean Google is your new business card, just like the title that we have for this podcast episode?
Right. Well, I think kind of, especially in a world post-COVID where we all were online and not meeting people face to face. It's changed the nature of human relationships, and the business card, which was what people were giving to each other in the 80s and 90s and into the 2000s. And even in 2013, I was still giving out business cards. And with COVID, people were Googling your name on their phone while they talked to you, or on a different screen while they talked to you on Zoom. And we always knew it was happening, but it really came to the fore, I think, over the last 2 or 3 years. And that idea that you can't now give somebody the business card on one of these Zoom meetings, you have to say, well, Google my name and you'll see who I am, or they will Google the name spontaneously. So yeah. That idea that Google is now your business card is phenomenally important, incredibly powerful. And so my approach is say, well, that search result on Google for your name or your company name for that matter is something that you need to design. So you can design your Google business card. And that's what we do at CaliCube. We say, well, what do you want to show? What's the brand narrative that you want to project? And we will make sure that the content that Google shows on that SERP, be it text, videos, images, the knowledge panel, all of that stuff, make sure that it projects your brand message in the way that you want it to be projected. And it's actually very simple. And some of it is SEO, but in fact, we've got three focal points. Number one is branding, okay. Number two is marketing, and only number three is SEO. So if I come to you, we're going to be talking about branding first, marketing second, or content marketing second, and SEO only third. SEO is needed, but it isn't the most important. It isn't dominant, branding and marketing.
Okay, understand. Well, at first I always thought that SEO is equally important as branding and marketing. But through this conversation that we have, it seems to me that branding and marketing are way more powerful than SEO alone itself.
Right. Think about what SEO is. Search engine optimization is actually simply packaging the branding and the marketing that you're already doing for Google.
So you take
your branding and marketing, you package it for Google. That is SEO.
So it's something like hashtags, right? So for example, we always use hashtag legacy, for example. And then the only people that when they are Googling or they are typing it on Twitter or Instagram or even Facebook and LinkedIn, all the things that is linked to legacy will pop up. And probably you will be the one, and I would say I will be the one will be there. And then probably you and the other people like Vinny and many other people that has been on the podcast will appear alongside with legacy. Am I right to say that?
That's exactly it. It's given an immensely simple example of exactly what this packaging involves. The hashtag is a very simple way to package for search engines and machines. So you've given us one example of how we can package for your brand SERP, for Google, and for any other machine for that matter. Obviously, there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of techniques. That is one, and it's a great one.
Okay, well, thanks. I'm just curious, right? Because just now you actually mentioned brand SERP. So can you tell us more on what is a brand SERP and why should we care about our brand SERP?
Right, yeah. I mean, an SERP, SERP, is a search engine results page. And I often forget that most people don't know what that means. It's an acronym. A search engine results page is what you see on Google when you search for anything. So a brand SERP, a brand search engine results page, is the search engine results page for a search on a brand name or a personal name. And obviously, the people who are searching your brand name or your personal name are people who have already heard about you. You've already reached out to them through a podcast like this, through an article, through social media. They know who you are. They've got a vague idea, perhaps, of what you do. So they Google you. And at that point, your brand SERP needs to show them exactly who you are, what you offer, and why you should be the best choice for them. So that's your brand narrative. So you've got these people almost to the point of doing business with you. They Google your name, you tighten up the bottom of the funnel by making sure that that result is a great Google business card with Google's stamp of approval that you're a credible solution for them. And it also shows, obviously, what the solutions are that you can offer them. I can't see why any business or any person who wants to do business or move their career forward isn't completely obsessed by this today.
Okay. Wow. I see. Oh, nice. So then how can we outbid our competitors who are also in the same niche? Because for example, like you are the brand SERP. So if a newbie would like to come in and be one of the, you know, first few page, you know, they want to be in the appearing in the first few pages of brand SERP for Google, then mm-hmm. how can they actually do that?
Right. Well, in at CaliCube, we don't actually work on that aspect at all. We only work on you. So we don't have competitors. Okay. We're working on how do we present you to your audience. So the idea of a competitor is actually, I mean, we, obviously it does come into the discussion, but it isn't hugely important. So if when somebody comes to me, I will say, right, okay, what's showing up on your brand SERP? What do you, does your audience see when they Google your name or your brand name? If the competitors are there, we want to get rid of them, and we will. It's easy for us, at least. It's very easy to get rid of your competitors if they are on your brand SERP because they're not relevant. They're not helpful. It's not what Google wants to do. When somebody searches your name, race, and shoot, Google wants to show them, your audience, helpful and valuable and accurate information about you. It doesn't want to show anybody else. And if it is showing somebody else, it's because you haven't convinced it that you have enough helpful and valuable information and content to share with your audience. So that's where we would start.
Oh, okay. Understand. Okay. Oh, this is interesting. Oh, so that meaning to say that when you are actually able to probably like, how do I put it? Like when you put in your name, for myself, like when I put in Singapore podcast and then Regacy, for example, then the only people that will be seeing in the first page or second page or you know, whichever pages that it would be, it's only my stuff, right?
Yeah.
Unless if I type in Singapore podcast, then most likely you won't get to see my name first because the other people that are more popular, they are more famous in a sense, will appear first because they have their brand SERP. I would say their brand SERP already updated and they have been doing a lot of things to make sure that, you know, I am irrelevant to them in a sense. Am I right to say that?
Yeah, you've made a great point. But I don't think they will have worked on their brand SERP. They won't have worked on their brand narrative on Google because most people don't. But Google will have understood their brand narrative for one reason or another, either because they're incredibly organized or because they're incredibly famous. And that's what gives them an advantage within your space. Anybody who has imprinted very clearly in Google's mind who they are, what they're doing, which audience they serve, who has explained to Google, who has communicated to Google what their brand narrative is, has necessarily a massive advantage in their entire industry. Because if Google understands who you are, what you do, and who your audience is, it's more likely to push you to the top because it understands you and it trusts you. And remember, when somebody's searching on Google, they're looking for a solution to a problem or an answer to a question. Google wants to provide them with the most credible solution, the best solution. And if you are offering a great solution, it's going to go for who do I understand the best and which one do I perceive to be the most credible? And if you've got a great brand SERP, that is a reflection of Google's assessment of your credibility and your authority within your industry. So once again, I don't understand why everybody isn't doing this today.
Okay, cool. Then what are the first steps that a new entrepreneur could do in order to make their brand SERP that spectacular as that famous person that is, you know, that is in the industry for a few years already, for example?
Right, yeah. And a lot of people think, well, okay, if you search my brand name, my website comes up on top. Get job done.
Right.
And that's a huge mistake because coming up number one is the least, it's actually the absolute minimum you would expect. If you search for IBM, you want IBM to come up first. That's logical. It will. If you search for CaliCube, CaliCube comes up first. That's so easy to do. But what does the rest of the result look like? Indeed, what does the result for your name look like? Does your website represent you properly? And the answer is probably not. I searched Coca-Cola a few weeks ago, and it says the Coca-Cola bottle is a trademark of the Coca-Cola company. On Google, you search for Coca-Cola. That's such rubbish. Coca-Cola needs us, because we could go in and tell them, you need to change this text on your website to make sure that Google shows not the Coca-Cola bottle is a trademark of the Coca-Cola company, but Coca-Cola, the refreshing drink that everybody loves, or whatever their slogan is. Then you, so your website needs to represent you so that Google can present you correctly to your audience. Then you need to use your website to leverage the explanation of your brand narrative to Google so that your brand message is projected by Google to your audience through Google's search results in the way that you want it to be. So your website is absolutely crucial, but it's the place to start. So if you're going to start anywhere, start on your website.
Oh, okay. Understand. So, okay. So that means when we want to start, we need to have our websites first.
Yep.
And then we do content marketing in a sense.
Yeah, you do brand communication and content marketing, and then you package it for Google with the SEO. So yes, you're 100% right. And if you don't have a website as a as an individual, build one. If you don't have one as a company, that's very strange, but definitely build one. Google needs a point of reference for you, and that point of reference needs to be a website that you own and control, because on that website, you can build and communicate your brand narrative, and you can start with your content creation so that you've got the brand message and the content that you can then package for Google in the form of simple SEO, which is what we help you with.
Okay, understand. Okay, interesting. Wow. Well, this is amazing. A lot of golden nuggets have been shared, man. I mean, like this are really important for newbies that when they want to start off in their entrepreneurship and their career as well, this is something that's really important. And I just want to ask you, then how do you manage a brand on Google? And is it geeky?
Right. No, that's the lovely, lovely point is, none of this is complicated. It's common good sense. I mean, you mentioned hashtags. That's a great idea. Using hashtags to communicate the brand and to make sure that Google can group everything together that you're talking about is a super huge, brilliant idea. I've never done it. I didn't think about it. You're a genius. Then you can move on to the other stuff. I mean, honestly, I hadn't thought about exactly how that worked until you mentioned it. But then you can also move on to the content of your pages and say, well, how am I expressing my brand narrative, my brand message? It probably isn't clear. If you go to your about page and it says our mission, we want to help everybody build a better life in this universe, that doesn't tell me anything. If I don't really know much about you, it doesn't tell me anything about what you can offer me, why I might want to work with you. And it's, in my opinion, that kind of mission statement is meaningless in the sense that everybody says it doesn't actually mean anything. It doesn't communicate anything to me, and it isn't personal. It isn't personal to you. So start with that and start building out that brand message, that brand narrative, where you're communicating with your audience in the way that they want to be communicated with. And as you can hear, I'm only talking about branding and communication right now. And then I say, well, what content can I create for that audience around my brand narrative that they will want to consume and that will convince them to come towards me and want to work with me? Now we're talking content marketing. And at that point, I need to think, where do I put it on the website? Do I use hashtags? What do I write in my title to make sure that Google understands? Should I use some geeky schema markup, which is actually very simple if you use a tool like Wordlift, which is the guy Andrea Volpini I mentioned earlier on. There are loads of simple solutions. We're in the modern world. Computers do so many things. You don't need to be a geek because programs, tools, and computers will do most of the geeky stuff for you. You click on a button, and it's in place. So that packaging for Google is the least of your worries. The two big worries you've got are, what's my brand narrative and what content can I create that will make sense to my audience? SEO is easy.
Okay. Oh, well, we have one question from one of our viewers as well. And that is this. This is from Nazri. So Nazri asks, what's one of the most overrated thing that people think about branding?
The most overrated thing in the SEO industry, at least, is that I need to call my company what it does. So if I repair computers, it would be Buffalo Computer Repairs. It says what I do, and that's really simple, but that's incredibly ambiguous. So I think that the idea of having a common name or a recognizable name is a mistake. You've got three different types of names for me. You've got one that says what we do, so Computer Repairs Limited. One that uses a generic term that everybody recognizes, like Yellow Door. There are a surprising number of companies called Yellow Door. And the third is a unique name, Yellow like Calicube.
Yeah.
And there are, if you call your company what it does, it's very easy for human beings to understand, but it's generic and it doesn't have personality. If you call it Yellow Door, it's ambiguous. People don't understand what you do, and you've got a huge job to communicate with them. It's not actually a yellow door, and our shop doesn't have a yellow door. We just thought it was a fun concept. That's hugely difficult to explain. And if you have a name like Calicube, which is unique, you create your personality and you create the understanding. You create the meaning of the word Calicube, and that meaning is what you want your brand narrative to be. So if you hear Calicube from this day on, my conversation with you is what you're going to have in your mind. I've created meaning. So it's obviously not one rule fits everybody in the entire universe, but the example of say what you do, give yourself a fun, ambiguous name, or give yourself a unique name. My immediate reaction is, let's start with the unique name and move backwards from there.
Okay, interesting. Oh, then you know, just now you said something about Yellow Door, right? Then what about Apple? Because Apple, everyone will be thinking, hey, are they selling apples? Fuji apples or whatever apple? Yep.
There are exceptions. As I said, not one rule fits all. But Apple started pretty early on. But they had problems with the Beatles' Apple records. There was a huge court case about that. For Google, and look at Google's point of view. If I search for Apple, am I looking for an Apple? Am I looking for Apple Records, or am I looking for Apple, the company? Google doesn't know, and so it's working on probability. So it'll probably show me Apple, the company, because the probability that somebody is looking for the company is higher. But imagine you've managed to convince, through your marketing alone, your branding and marketing alone, you've managed to convince Google that people are more likely to be looking for your company than they are for a common apple. That's an astonishing achievement. Don't try it. Don't try it at home, as they say on children's TV.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wow. Okay, I understand. Wow. Interesting. Oh, this is really, really interesting. I learned a lot about Google branding.
Today. I've been thinking about this day and night for 10 years, so I've had time to figure lots of stuff out. It's been a lot of fun. And as you've seen, it makes me smile a lot because I love this stuff.
Yeah, I can see that. That's why you're really passionate and you've been featured on a lot of conferences and also podcasts like this. And it's really my honor, you know, to have you here and to have quite a number of people who are tuning in as well. So, you know, just now, way back earlier in our conversation, you mentioned about this thing called Knowledge Panel in Google. So can you tell us more about what is a Knowledge Panel in Google and why is it important for personal brand and business brands?
Right, great question. A Knowledge Panel is on the right-hand side of desktop when you search on Google. So it's that panel on the right-hand side. It's an information panel, let's say. And if you look at the results on Google on desktop, you'll see the right-hand side is Google saying, these are the facts. And on the left-hand side, it's saying, here are my suggestions and recommendations. So when Google understands factually who you are and it's confident in that understanding, it will give you a knowledge panel on the right-hand side. That knowledge panel is Google's stamp of authority, stamp of approval. It's saying, I understand this person or this company, I trust them, and I vouch for them in many ways. So it's absolutely essential. With it, you look impressive. Without it, you look quite pathetic, or that's probably not the best way to say it, but look less impressive, let's say. And for personal branding, it's becoming increasingly important very quickly, because although it used to be just on the right-hand side, it's now starting to take over much more of Google's search engine results page. So if you search for my name, you'll see that it takes up about 80% of everything you see. 80% of what Google is presenting about me is Google saying, these are facts about Jason Barnard. Here's how you can research Jason Barnard through the facts as understood by Google. And if you don't control that, Google's going to get it wrong, and your audience is going to get a terrible experience and learn the wrong things about you, let's say. And for companies, it's getting like that too. So we're in a situation now where Google is more and more presenting the world through its understanding of the facts. And we, as people and as companies, need to take control of those facts as understood by Google. And CaliCube is exactly the team to do it. We have experience. We have 10 years doing this. We know what we're doing. We can control which facts Google understands about you and make sure that Google's presenting them in a manner that's helpful, accurate, and relevant to your audience.
Okay. Wow, nice. So for those of you who are really interested to know more about Jason's services and how he can help you with your branding and also at the same time getting you a really great business card on Google, then you can go and check him out, and you can also check CaliCube out as well. And, you know, as we are actually coming to the end of our podcast, I have one last question for you, Jason. So, Jason, imagine this, okay? You suddenly lose everything, your money, your name, your reputation. So what will you do from day one to day 30 to save yourself?
Right. Now, from day one to day 30, I tend to take the long-term view. So okay. I would actually start rebuilding an online presence. So I would get myself a cheap domain hosting with a small website, and I would build out my existence online from there. But that's a long-term strategy that isn't going to save me in 30 days. So it would actually take two sides. One is I would start building my online presence again, start building a new brand message, a new brand narrative with new content to communicate with a new audience, or the audience that I'm now going to build, and package it for Google so that Google can present me to that audience and start pushing myself out little by little and bit by bit. To actually eat food during those 30 days and pay my rent, I would take my double bass, I would go out into the street, and I would play music with a hat on the street in front of me, and I would busk to make a living for the first 30 days. In fact, I would do it for the first 2 or 3 years until I'd built up a new reputation, a new brand narrative, a new audience, and a new business. Playing in the streets, lovely.
Oh, wow. Love it, love it, love it, man. And do you mind if I ask you this? Like, can you just perform one song for us tonight?
Yeah, what kind of song would you like?
Anything.
Oh, here's a good one. There you go, a song from Buwan Kwalij, Took My Glasses Off, for anybody listening to the podcast. Without my glasses, I can't see properly. Without my glasses, I can't see, but I can play this song. La, 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 la.
Wow, awesome. Oh my God, damn. Wow, thank you so much, man. I mean, like, this is really one of the most entertaining podcast episode, and this is the best episode for 2023, because this is the first episode of 2023 for the Regacy Show, and for all the audience that's tuning in, well, make sure you share this episode out and make sure you go and connect with Jason. So before Brilliant. We leave, can you tell us how can my audience connect with you?
Right, before I tell you how they connect, I do love, this is the best episode of 2023. It's also the first episode of 2023. That's going to make me giggle all evening. That's absolutely delightful. Thank you. If you want to find Welcome. Me, search my name, Jason Barnard, JasonBarnard, or my company, Calicube, KALIUBE. And the great thing about a Google business card for both Calicube and myself is that the result will show who we are, what we can offer you, and it gives you the choice of how you want to interact with us through our social media, through our website, through our knowledge panel, or through the review sites for Calicube, for example. So the great Google business card not only looks great, but it gives your audience the choice of how they want to interact with you.
Nice. Wow, okay. Wow, nice. So for all of you, really give, you know, Jason a round of applause, and also at the same time, you know, the amazing energy with pumping the like buttons and the hearts and all. Thank you so much yep. for, you know, for all the golden nuggets that you have shared. And I would like to thank people from Singapore, Malaysia, Australia that's tuning in, US as well for tuning in to this episode. Really appreciate you guys. You guys stay tuned for the next episode, okay, of the Regacy Show. And with that, I would like to wish everyone a good evening and a good day from our end. And not just that, I would like to wish everyone a happy new year. Happy 2023. May you have a happy, healthy, and hearty 2023. And go and work on your goals, everybody. Work on your goals and make sure that you take on the opportunity whenever it arises.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I'd like to say one thing that just occurred to me.
Sure.
I'd like to say, this is Jason saying Happy New Year. Good luck for 2023 to Rayson. Jason to Rayson, Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you so much. From Rayson to Jason, have a blast in 2023, all right? And you will be that millionaire. You will reach,
Brilliant.
You'll reach that millions. Yeah, you're going to definitely reach the millions. All right?
Thanks so, a lot, man.
Hey, you're most welcome. So with that, take care and stay tuned for more. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to another episode of The Regacy Show. I hope it has enlightened you. I hope it has brought you to an epiphany where you realize that this is where you want to go and this is what you want to do. So I hope you will continue to support and also at the same time like, comment, and share this episode out to your people, to your family, your friends. And not forgetting that we have just created a Telegram group. It's called the Regacy Show Family. So you can go and check it out and let us know how you find this group is serving you. All right. So with that, I would like to thank you once again. See you and stay tuned for another episode of the Regacy Show.